Welcome to McKinney in Focus, an in-depth look at what's happening in the McKinney community on FM 88.1 The One and KNTU.com.
I'm Ashley Hanisco. This week, we are talking with Celeste Hyduke-Cox, Executive Director of North Collin County Habitat for Humanity, and J.D. Lee, owner of JDL Group, who are working together to build McKinney's first shipping container community for low-income families in the area. Cotton Groves is expected to be completed by the end of next year, and Hyduke-Cox describes what the families can expect when they move in.
On the inside, they'll look like single-family homes, exactly like the houses that we build right now. They'll have wood flooring, laminate flooring in the kitchens and bathrooms and cabinets, and really cool countertops, vanities in the bathrooms. On the exterior, it will be the steel container, but we will have some different finishes on it. So it could be, some could be sided, some could have different types of finishes. But they'll look a little more modern, a little more urban, but really cool and unique. And then they'll have a balcony coming out on the second floor.
So they'll be somewhat outfitted with fixtures and things like that?
Yes. Everything you would normally see inside a home, they'll have pretty much.
Are the units going to be customizable, or will the layout of the homes pretty much be set?
Most of our houses, they get to pick between a three-bedroom, four-bedroom plan, and we have like two or three different three-bedroom plans. But with these, they'll be pretty wide open. So there won't be a lot of walls, and they'll be able to move their furniture around if they want the living room to be closer to the dining room. So it'll be customizable to them, but it's pretty much a wide open kind of loft downstairs, and then the bedrooms will be upstairs.
To what extent will these homes be move-in ready?
Oh, they'll be move-in ready when the homeowner closes, because we don't start a house until the homeowner, they have to qualify for our program, first of all, based on income. And then they also have to have a housing need. But the third thing is they have to do sweat equity hours. And for a single applicant, they do 300 hours of sweat equity. So we don't start the house until they have 75 hours of sweat equity. So they've been helping build other people's homes before they even are ready to start on theirs. So by the time they start their sweat equity, by the time they're finished with it, the house is usually complete and ready to move in.
Do you find that when people are putting in their own time and effort that they tend to stay in the houses longer and take better care of them, maintain them longer?
Yes, because they have sweat equity into it. Plus, they know how to fix it and repair it when anything goes wrong. So they're more apt to maintain it for a longer period. And we're the mortgage company, so we hold the mortgages. Most of them are 20-year mortgages, and we've only had a handful of people actually sell their homes or sell them back to us. So most of them are still in their homes. So we know that.
That was going to be my next question. So they are going to own the home outright. Are there any restrictions on that? Or
The only restrictions are if it appraises at, say, our last houses were appraising at 140 and we sell it at, say, 90 or 100, there's a dissipating lien that's forgivable as they're paying on the first one. So if they do sell it any time before it's fully paid off, they pay back that dissipating lien as well. That's really the only restriction. And then Habitat has the right of first purchase. So if they do decide to sell, we can make an offer before they sell it on the open market so we can keep it in affordable housing.
Considering the recent natural disasters, how durable are these types of units as compared to traditional home construction in high wind and water conditions?
Well, they're made for shipping containers on the ocean, so they're pretty water resistant, and they found that they're more tornado resistant, wind resistant as well, and they're also fireproof. So they're much sturdier than your traditional wood frame home.
What do you envision as far as what the community will look like outside of the units?
I think it'll be a very livable community. We'll have a community center at the front, probably a playground, lots of interaction with each other. And the fact that they have balconies, I think they'll know their neighbors a lot more. Our goal is to make it a livable community and walkable community so that they're not always just running home in the car, pulling into the garage, shutting it. It'll be more open. So hopefully they'll know their neighbors and know each other.
How does Habitat for Humanity maintain the units and surrounding area once the homes have been occupied?
In the surrounding areas? Like, what do you mean?
On the property. The property of the community.
Okay, so it'll become a homeowners association. So when we do a planned development, it always becomes a HOA. And the HOA, which is partly managed by the people that live there, they manage the grounds. We'll be a part of that, but it'll also be also part of the owner's responsibility to manage the grounds. And we'll probably continue to maintain the community center.
And that will kind of be built into the cost of the home, the mortgage, and all that?
Yeah, it'll be a monthly expense, but none of their expenses will be more than 30% of their monthly income. So it'll be very affordable for them.
What is the current budget for the project?
It's about $4.5 million for 35 housing units and the community center.
I imagine that's considerably less than traditional home construction.
Yes, yes. And we have to also put in the infrastructure, water and sewer and streets. So that's included in that as well.
Do you have kind of an overall guesstimate as to percentage wise, how much of the percentage of a traditional home the cost is?
We don't yet because we're still working on in-kind donations. So once we have all those numbers in, we'll have a better idea. But right now we're reaching out for partners on some of the material cost in these. So once we get that ironed out, we'll know better.
Will you be using a lot of the materials in the restore?
Yes, just like we do in our traditional Habitat houses, the flooring, the cabinets, the paint, the light fixtures all come from our restore, so we buy it from ourselves. So that helps keep the cost down as well.
Has Collin County's Habitat for Humanity done other projects on this scale?
We did a subdivision in McKinney that had 17 homes, and we did it in two phases. So the first phase was 10, and the second phase was 7, and those were traditional homes. And it's still beautiful. It was built around a playground, very livable community still to this day.
When was that?
It was, we purchased it in 04, did part of it in 06, and finished it in 08.
Is this the future of Habitat's housing development in Collin County, or will you continue with traditional homes as well?
We'll continue with traditional homes because we're doing a lot of infill lots where we can get land, so those aren't zoned or don't have a planned development to be able to do this type of construction, so it'll just be at this location.
What role does growth of Collin County, and particularly McKinney, play in the decision to create this development?
It was a very important decision because we found that we cannot get land as easily as we used to. The price has gone up. The availability is hardly any left. And so we were finding that if we could get anything, we wanted to maximize the piece of property that we got so that we could serve more families. And so I think by doing what we're doing, we're achieving that to be able to serve 35 families versus one house that's on it right now.
Are you finding that McKinney residents are supportive of this development? Has there been any resistance from the community?
They love the development. They just all want us to build it for them, and they want to qualify for it. So, yeah, and our goal is to have several market rate units in it as well. So we'll build those probably first or close to the beginning to help pay for the community center. So it'll be a mixed income neighborhood. So that'll also help keep it exciting and just creative.
And when you say the market value, do you mean that people who would be able to live there wouldn't need to have an income qualification?
Correct. They would just be market rate on the open market. We'd sell them for whatever we could get for them.
How was the location for the neighborhood selected? You said that it was around a park, and I assume it was affordable.
Yes. It was a big piece of land that we have found and were able to get a contract on, so that was how we came up across it. And it was in a neighborhood we were already building in, so it was an area we wanted to help improve and also offer more housing options for the people living there.
How do you go about finding families to live in Cotton Grove? Do you find that they come to you?
Well, we were talking about this today. Right now we have 175 families waiting for us to get to their name on the list to ask them to apply for the program. So it's probably going to be one of those, but we're always taking applications. So, you know, if anybody has an interest, they're willing to apply at any time. And then when we get to the point where we have openings to build, then we'll keep calling those up.
When do you anticipate the project will be completed?
Well, we don't think we'll be able to even start probably till January, just on infrastructure and land development. So it'll be easily 18 to 24 months from now, probably.
What are some of the outstanding needs that your organization is facing at this time?
Land, of course, in-kind partners for construction, partners for helping to build the homes financially, and volunteers. Donations to our ReStore. So if you remodel your home or have extra leftover from your business, those we always can use, because the sales from the ReStore go right back into building more Habitat houses.
That was Celeste Hajduk-Cox, CEO and Executive Director of North Collin County Habitat for Humanity. In a moment, we will talk with J.D. Lee, whose company, JDL Group, is in charge of design of the Cotton Grove's affordable housing project in McKinney, the first in the area to use shipping containers outfitted as homes to shelter residents. I'm Ashley Hanisco.
You're listening to McKinney in Focus on FM 88.1 The One and KNTU.com. If you have questions, comments, or information about what's happening in McKinney, you can contact us by email at knTU@unt.edu. That's knTU@unt.edu. Or call 940-565-2881. For more information about McKinney in Focus on the web, go to knTU.com/McKinneyInFocus.
I'm Ashley Hanisco. Previously, we spoke with Celeste Hajduk-Cox, Executive Director of North Collin County Habitat for Humanity. Now, we have J.D. Lee, whose company, JDL Group, is working with Collin County Habitat for Humanity to design and build Cotton Groves, McKinney's first affordable housing community made entirely out of shipping containers. I spoke with him while he was on the road in Ohio, and he says that although he has never worked with shipping containers for this type of project, he told me a little about what his personal experience is working with affordable home construction.
There are not a lot of shipping container projects in America that you can just readily walk out into any city and just go look at shipping container projects. So part of the reason why I'm here in Columbus and Cleveland and up in Michigan and Detroit and into Canada are kind of site touring some emerging container projects that are going on in other parts of the country that are significant in nature. So, yes, this will be the first of its kind in North Texas, and our first endeavor into shipping container as a product to use in real estate development. But it's certainly not our first real estate venture. Real estate has been something that's been ongoing for quite a number of years, specializing in predominantly villages and mixed-use environments.
So you're up in the northern part of the country and up in Canada. And I'm wondering what the differences would be climate-wise. You know, I know down here, obviously, given the past few weeks, we've been having some inclement weather, to put it lightly. And I know that that's we have a little bit of a different climate situation down here than up north. What are some of the unique challenges that we're going to be facing with this development down here, as opposed to the areas that you're checking out now?
Well, container projects really began, like a lot of things, in the European sector, in the South Pacific sector, and it slowly has been migrating itself into the coastal areas and into inland regions in America. So we have shipping container projects of a plethora of different types, sizes, and uses in multiple climate regions throughout the world. And so in doing that, there's been a history of, you know, best practices in terms of how to best insulate a structure, how to best reinforce foundations, how to best, you know, reinforce interior structural support mechanisms that can allow for open space, living layouts. And so in doing that, you know, it does come into play, you know, in North Texas where we are, you know, obviously the climate is not as humid as the Gulf States in let's say, Houston area where there's a few container projects, which is different than the upper Midwest where you still have a kind of like a milder humid because you're surrounded by the Great Lakes in many cases, or bordering one of the Great Lakes if you're in Michigan, Illinois, and any other surrounding states that are connected to the Great Lakes region. So it does come into play, you know, proximity to different climates in different regions, but certainly in North Texas, I think it's one of the more optimal regions because we have such a mild winter. We don't nearly have the overall humidity that we have in other coastal or Gulf states. And we have pretty much perfect weather 9 to 10 months out of the year. So my fact-finding mission is really kind of designed to get best practices on all of those factors and help us build the best possible product for our Habitat for Humanity partners here in the North Texas area. And I'm certainly excited about, you know, what we've learned thus far and how we can even perfect the process of using containers as a viable materials for building.
What led you all to decide to take this approach with this project?
Well, I've worked with a very, I would say, modern-day master of development. His name is Jeff Blackard. And when I came to Texas about 6 years ago, came back to Texas, originally was born here as a child, moved to Michigan, raised here, came back to Texas, got here as quick as I could, as they say. So for the past 6 years, I ended up working with arguably one of the great developers of our time, great visionaries of our time when it comes to development, Jeff Blackard of Blackard Global. And I've worked alongside Jeff for roughly the past 6 years in several capacities of creative design and advisory services, directing, and other client-related services. So we came up with this concept called neo-retroism. And after looking at Jeff's body of work over the past 30 years, which culminated in the building of a very amazing village in McKinney called Adriatica, he's the key visionary and developer of that that place that people have come from all over the world. And I just happen to, you know, be blessed enough to live there, work there, and learn about density, about village culture, about how to create mixed-use environments, how to create something intrinsically different than the American model of how we build things in America. And in doing that, we came head-to-head with Habitat for Humanity at a conference earlier this year at the George Bush Presidential Library that brought many of the important stakeholders in real estate together. The conference was called GCON, Global Conference on Neo-Retroism. That's N-E-O-R-E-T-R-O-I-S-M. Neo-retroism, neo meaning new, retro meaning old, ism meaning philosophy. So what Jeff really kind of discovered was a way to design using old world techniques in modern day development environments. And as we began to build that whole theory and concept and philosophy out, when we came to meet with Habitat, Jeff was kind of busy with other larger projects, didn't really think we had the time or the space to do smaller scale projects, only 2.75 acres. But I kind of took a liking to it because of some of the characteristics. So I decided to kind of, we peeled off a separate boat and I took lead on this project. And at the conference, there were some other real innovative builders called Disruptive Construction from San Antonio, and they were building these amazing shipping container homes. I loved it. I said, that's part of the future of real estate development. So, and in talking with Habitat and in talking with Disruptive Construction in San Antonio and in understanding the village philosophy of density, I said, there's an opportunity here to bring stakeholders together that would not otherwise maybe have worked together in a traditional Habitat build or a traditional residential build, and put together some ideas that could work in real time. So that's what we did. I saw the Disruptive Construction container project in San Antonio up close and personal, went down there, paid several visits, talked with the team there. They came on board to help us with this build here in North Texas with Habitat. They've been very instrumental. And so we took something that was an idea, which is any visionary has an idea first, and that idea has a story built into it. And what we do with neo-retroism is recreate the evolution process that puts the story in today's world. So Cotton Groves is an extension of not only just some random name drawn out of a dictionary and put together to form a name for the next development, but it literally came out of the history of that field once being one of the cotton fields of McKinney where slaves and even immigrants worked. Those lands and those fields, ironically, with who's involved with it today, it's now a place where some of those same minority people could eventually land a home and own the land that was once worked by their former ancestors. So that whole story and that whole idea became very personal to me, and being a person of ethnic descent, a person of color, I felt very akin to the story and the history, which maybe made me even want to do the project even more.
One thing that I've noticed just from looking at pictures is some of the building materials are different from what we would expect to see in traditional home construction, not just in terms of the metal, the corrugated metal and that type of thing, not just that, but like, for example, the roof is not the traditional sort of shingle style. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's not your typical gable pitched roof with, you know, shingles. So these roofs will be more low-pitched shed roofs, flat roofs, if you would, with a slight angle for water runoff, but they will also be heat reflective as well to keep the temperature down from pulling heat into the units as opposed to reflecting the heat away from them. They'll be insulated properly with closed foam insulation on the inside to keep the heat in during the colder seasons, but certainly when we have warmer weather here, we want to keep as much heat off the building as possible. So we'll be using reflective techniques in roofing as well as heat reflective techniques on siding as well.
Are there other aspects of this construction style that you will also be sort of deviating from the traditional home build?
Yes. First of all, if you look at the neighborhood there that we're proposing to the city, it's very dense. These are townhomes. They're very close-knit, very minimal lot line, if any, on the side, and certainly not the, 20-foot setbacks for driveways that you would see in typical subdivisions today in McKinney. So front and back setbacks are very minimal. The side setbacks are almost virtually zero. So we're creating a very dense, the street is a much narrower street. So it gives you a very, close, connected feel, if you would. One of the problems with typical construction today is it's we create subdivisions. In the word itself, subdivision is the word that does not denote any type of connectivity or unity. And we further exasperate the problem by building gated subdivisions. So we're further dividing ourselves every day with more and more high-end construction that's designed to be the palace, the getaway, the castle. But really, it becomes a prison because it isolates us from the neighbor next door, from the potential friend across the street, from the potential, friend, neighbor, constituent down the road, because we never get to see them because we're all gated in, we're all closed in. Here, we have carports as opposed to garages, which leaves a lot of open space. When you actually get out your car, you can actually potentially run into the neighbor next door who's pulling in after work, too, and say, hey, how are you? How you doing? And actually see them face-to-face, as opposed to behind the walls of a closed garage door. And so things like that, open decks, on the sides of the house as opposed to the back that are fenced off and gated and walled off. So there's a lot more open visual space as well as open physical space, as well as a close-knit proximity of the structures themselves that lend itself for a very warm, connected, united community.
That was J.D. Lee, lead designer of the Cotton Grove's affordable housing project, which will be built in McKinney next year. For more information on how to get involved or apply for a home in the community, you can visit the Habitat for Humanity website at ncc-habitat.com. That's all for this week. I'm Ashley Hanisco.
Thank you for listening to McKinney in Focus on FM 88.1 The One and KNTU.com. If you have questions, comments, or information about what's happening in McKinney, please contact us by email at knTU@unt.edu. Listen again next time for an in-depth look at what's happening in the McKinney community on McKinney in Focus.